Father, to you who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine according to your power that is at work in this place right now. And Father, I declare that power at work right now over every man and every woman that is here before you. As we declare your goodness, not in the absence of adversity, but in the midst of adversity, in the middle of our challenges, in the middle of our delays and difficulties. Oh God, we praise you. We offer you the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Oh God, because we know you're good and we know your plan is good. And so thank you in advance for our breakthrough, God. Let our song become our triumph this morning in this space. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Kenny. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. I'm glad you're here worshiping with us at Crossline or online. We're in that in-between time, right? Between Christmas and New Year's, right? And it's a time of reflection where we're sort of looking back. And then it's a time where we're kind of getting ready for resumption of our life, you know, either off vacation or in 2019. And there's this wondering, there's this pondering, right? There's where we are, and then there's where we want to be in the new year. There's things about ourselves that maybe we don't want to be the same at the same time next year. And that's kind of the sacredness of this space that we have right now, is a time to sort of take an inventory, right? And thinking about, well, where am I? And what is my life like right now? What is my marriage like? What is my life with God like? What is my relationships with people like? What is my service for the Lord like right now? And then let's press the fast forward button. What do I want it to be this same time next year? And where do the spiritual breakthroughs need to come? Because I'll tell you this, based on my knowledge of God and his word, his plan is not that you plateau. His plan is not that you stay the same way that you are today, that you're going to be that same exact person with the same exact quality of life, same exact nature of relationships this time next year in 2019. No, God wants personal and powerful breakthroughs. Amen? Can we say that? Personal and powerful breakthroughs. Yeah, because that's God. When God's in your life, every day is an opportunity for a personal and powerful breakthrough of spirit, of relationship, of circumstances, of calling, of ministry. Here, and I can just tell you in the language that we've been talking about here at Crossline, we are riding a wave of momentum, of Holy Spirit momentum here at this church. If you're just joining us, you need to know that there is a swell on the horizon that is coming, and our body of believers, we're kind of like positioning and preparing to catch this wave of what God is doing. And one of the waves that is coming is a lot of personal transformation for you in this next year as you're connected to God, as you're connected to the body of Christ and connected to his purposes. So as men, as women, as couples, as dads, moms, as followers of Jesus, just know this from God's word, that God wants personal and powerful breakthroughs for you. So what we're gonna do this morning really simply is we're gonna get God's mind on what he wants to do. We're gonna look at some keys from God's word, the Bible, about your spiritual breakthroughs and how to pursue them in real practical and powerful ways. We're gonna look at why your personal breakthroughs go beyond you and extend to the people who are connected to you and the church family that you belong to and the kingdom of God that's advancing through you and through us to give you some motivation, some energy to get to your breakthrough. So let's look at God's word. And see what his mind is on what he wants to do. I put a passage in the notes today. It's from Isaiah chapter 57, verse 14, where he's talking about his plans and what he wants his people to get ready for. It says this, and it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. Do you see the picture? It's the picture of a path forward. And God is talking and he's saying, hey, get ready, build up, prepare the road. It's like as if God is saying, hey, I have a plan and I have a purpose. It's powerful, it's fulfilling, it's meaningful. It has your deepest longings in it. And we got to get ready for this journey. But something has to happen before we can walk down that road. And it's in three words. It says, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. Now, to remove the obstacles, first we have to kind of identify what those obstacles are in our personal lives, or in our relationships, or in our walk with God, or in our marriages. And then we have to target them. We have to identify, and we kind of have to target them for removal. Why? Because we want to experience a breakthrough in this coming year. Now, not all breakthroughs are changes in circumstances. Sometimes the real powerful breakthroughs are changes in you and me. Amen? Where it's not like we sometimes buy into this myth that if only this was true about my life and that circumstance was changed, or we had this level of money in the bank, or my spouse would act this way toward me, or if my kids would listen or whatever, that somehow mystically by osmosis that would make its way from the outside of us into our hearts and then we would become different, right? But that's the way a lot of us think. We think circumstantially. Well, this is the way God thinks. It's right there in your notes. It says this: speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now, if you have your notes in front of you, if you have your Bible, I want you to circle every way. How many ways is every way? Every way. That's right. That means that there's room to grow. Everybody say room to grow. Room to grow. That's right. It doesn't matter if you've known the Lord for 3 days, or maybe you're a seeker and you're seeking to know the Lord, or maybe you've walked with God for decades, all right? There's room to grow. Why? Because the Bible says, speaking truth and love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So the question this morning that God may be putting to all of us is, are there any ways for me to grow this next year? I'm going to pause and just kind of give you a minute to just say, all right, Lord, where is it in my life that impacts our relationship? What are the areas in my life that I need to remove an obstacle so that I can relate better to you and maybe in my marriage or maybe to other people, right? There's always room to grow. You see, God has a destination for us, and we learn from Scripture that when God has a destination for us to get to, that there are obstacles in us and around us that need to be removed in order for us to get to that destination. So I've just put some examples, some destinations or some changes, and then some dragons, all right, like some obstacles. You remember, you know, in the story of Sleeping Beauty, right, that the prince has to rescue Sleeping Beauty, but then he has to get to her. He has to slay some dragons. In the spiritual life, there are some destinations that God wants you to get to, but there are some obstacles or dragons that need to be slain. For example, if you want to win Christ-likeness, to become more like Jesus by this same time next year, you're going to have to defeat the dragon of sin. It's got to be removed out of your life. And the Bible says we all struggle with that. The things in our lives that are not aligned with God's will revealed in Scripture, that are not according to his purposes. Or maybe you want to win more faith and courage, right? More belief in God, right? But the dragon you have to slay there that needs to be removed is fear, because the enemy of faith is fear. You can live out of fear and make decisions, or you can live out of your faith and a big God who wants to do big things. Or perhaps you want to win strong relationships. I just put one of the dragons there that needs to be removed. It's hurry. Now, the devil might not make you bad, but if he makes you busy, your relationships will suffer. Because you can't be in a hurry and have good relationships. You got to slow to know someone. You got to slow down to really have a connection with and a relationship with God. It's a discipline. You got to slow down to know the loved ones in your life, your spouse, your children. You got to make time, all right? And it has to be a carve out, but you can't do that in a hurry, all right? Or maybe you want to win a strong finish. Maybe you're like, hey, I'm going to finish my life strong for God. I'm going to finish my marriage strong. I'm going to finish really strong. Well, you know what? If you're going to finish strong, you got to slay the dragon of distractions. Right? That has to be removed. It's sort of like that principle. There's the vital few and the important many. You have to decide if you want a strong finish that you are going to focus on the vital few things versus all these things, these other things competing with that focus. And then here's one to fill in. If you want to win breakthrough changes, you know what the dragon you have to slay is? It's good intentions. Good intentions. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of good intentions. Anybody out there like me? I have a lot of good intentions. I think in my mind, like, man, I wish I could do that. Or I should do that. I should do this. I should be better at that. I should listen more. I should be more patient. Well, those are all good intentions. But at some point in your journey, you have to replace good intentions with strong actions. Amen? There has to be a place where you move from desire to real action. And I'm not saying that we pull it off. I'm just saying we do our part, right? It sort of reminds me of when the young boy comes to Jesus and there's a lot of hungry people and there's a cynical disciple named Philip and there's a doubtful disciple named Andrew and then there's this little kid and he brings his lunch and he just kind of like goes, here you go, right? And Jesus says, after he comes and brings his little, he goes, have the people sit down. That little boy brought a sack lunch to feed 5,000 people. And then Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to take your little and I'm going to make a lot. Have the people sit down. That's sort of how powerful spiritual breakthroughs happen. You have to do your part. It took faith for that little boy to just go, hey, you know, I don't have a lot and I know it's going to underserve, but in God's hands, God takes my little and he makes a lot. Can we say that together? God takes my little and he makes a lot. You see, when you look toward this new year, God's going to ask you to do your part. He's going to ask you to bring your loaf and fish of your obedience. He's going to ask you to bring your loaf and fish of your faith. He's going to ask you to bring your loaf and fish of courage and honesty and humility to whatever it is where you need a spiritual breakthrough. And he's going to go, you know what? I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to give up something. And I'm going to ask you to put that in my hands. And I'm going to take your little and make a lot. That's right. Because that's what the Bible says. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So to win breakthrough changes, you gotta slay the dragon of good intentions, and those good intentions have to be replaced by strong actions. So let's look at some truths in the Bible that will help us practically step into these powerful changes that God wants to do in your context. And let's make it personal, and we're going to trust God to speak to us. The first area that we got to connect is skill versus will. Write that down. Skill versus will. And let me illustrate what I mean. How many of you can finish this sentence? Don't work harder, work smarter. That's right. That's all we're saying. And that's all that God's saying. A lot of times, you know, we're trying harder. We're putting more effort, more energy into a certain area. And we're not getting the result that we want. Why? Because, you know, the energy that we're putting in there, all we need is maybe a new skill versus more effort. Look at what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:10. It says this, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. It's sort of like, my friend Rick, he was trying to change his tire. He had never changed a tire ever before in his life. I saw him outside a breakfast restaurant where I live. And I'm like, hey, Rick, what's up? He's just like so frustrated. He's like, gosh, I can't. And he's like got the jack and it's kind of sliding underneath there. And he's like, he's holding up this rod and he doesn't know how to use it. And I'm like, dude, let me see that. Take this and stick it in there and then go like this. All right? He's like, oh, okay. So here what my friend Rick was, he's trying to change his tire. He's not getting the job done. He's getting frustrated, but he needed to kind of surrender to his new best friend, Kenny, who was going to share his knowledge and help him fix his tire and get to where he wants to go. Did you know that the only thing preventing Rick from having the new tire on and getting to where he needs to go would have been his pride? And you know, that's our problem in the spiritual journey, isn't it? A lot of times God has people who know more, people who know Jesus, people who can show us how. And yet in our pride, win a new skill that might win a better relationship with God or people or help us become all that God intends for us because of our silly pride. And what we need is new skill. We don't need willpower. You know, the number one reason for failure of New Year's resolution is just, you know, I just didn't have the willpower. All right? Well, maybe it's not willpower. Maybe you need a new skill and you need to turn to some good sources to learn some new skills. And the Bible recommends that you turn to Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, hey, I'll teach you some new skills. Look at what it says in Matthew 11, 29 and 30. It says, Jesus is talking. He says, hey, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You might want to circle that in your notes. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. There's your number one source for learning some new skills. Learn them from Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Study the life of Jesus. Read the Gospels. See how he is and how he acts, and let him model for you and let him mentor you in how to do life. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant next year so that this time next year, you're just gonna go, man, I've had an abundant experience. I've learned from Jesus this and this and this. How to be, how to believe, how to behave. I've learned that from Jesus himself. But the question is, when Jesus gives you the invitation, learn from me, are you gonna RSVP? Are you gonna make time for him in your year? Are you going to spend time with him? Are you going to talk with him? Are you open to what he wants to say in your life? So there's source number one for learning some new skills. Learn them from Jesus. And then the Bible says that we learn in community and from one another. In Proverbs 27, 17, one of my favorite Bible verses, it says this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, you want to finish it with me? So one man sharpens another. You see the picture? The picture is of a life. And a life is like a blade. And the blade can be dull or it can be sharp. But for the blade to be sharp, there has to be a sharpening stone. But the sharpening stone has to be put against the blade. It has to have proximity and it has to be up against it. You know, I think of those medieval war movies where before they go to war, there's the sword sharpener guys. It's like a whole row of them and they're on the granite wheels. And they're taking swords and they're sharpening the blades. What do you see when the sword is on the stone? Spark. You see, spark. Is it hot or cold? It's hot, yeah. Well, guess what? When you turn to people to sharpen you, it might get a little hot. Why? Because a person might be sharpening you and speaking truth in love, right? But all truth is God's truth. Can we say that together? All truth is God's truth. That's right. So one person sharpens another, but you have to be next to other people, and maybe that's a skill that you need. You need to learn how to benefit from being in community. You need to learn how to benefit from other people sharing God's word with you, sharing their counsel, sharing their experience. And at Crossline, as your pastors, that's what we want for you this next year. So you have everything you need to develop some new skills, stop trying harder, start winning some personal breakthroughs, but you gotta recognize the difference between skill versus will. Get some new skills from Jesus. Get some new skills by being in community. Join a Bible study, join a community group. I'm gonna hammer that and hammer that and hammer that. Why? Because that's God's plan. It says in the Bible, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Right? The head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We're a body, all right? And to get from the red zone of being stuck and plateauing into the end zone, and you know what happens in the end zone, right? It's called the end zone dance at the end of next year. To get from the red zone of being stuck and plateaued and complacent, right, to the end zone of huge transformation in your life, you need an offensive line, amen? We're watching a lot of football these days, all right? You need an offensive line to get you. What if the guy lined up and he was holding the ball and there's 11 guys on defense, no offensive line? You know what? Sacked for a loss. You know what God's saying this morning? You're going to get sacked for a loss if you don't have an offensive line around you this next year. They're going to blow some holes open for you and you're going to get from the red zone of being stuck into the end zone and the elation of personal transformation. So skill versus will. Second area that we need to connect is beliefs and behaviors if you're going to have a big personal breakthrough. The Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." The Bible says in many places and in many ways that your living reflects your thinking. That you can look at a person and you can say, why are they behaving like that? And you can track it back to a belief that they have that drives the behavior that they're participating in. And a lot of times we look at God's will and God's plan and we just kind of hedge our bets. We go, God, I know that you want us to do this. There's this belief that you want me to have, that you're good, that you work out all things according to your will and purpose, and there's this way to be and believe and behave that you want for me. But you know what? If I do it your way, my needs won't get met when I want and how they want it. Anybody like that? Okay? But you know what God's saying? So you know what? Your thinking needs to change. If you want a change of life, you have to have a change of thinking. And the Bible declares that. The battle is not a resolution of your circumstances a lot of times. The battle is within you and how you're thinking about that issue or that area of your life. In fact, the Bible says that we have a battle of the mind occurring, and there's a radical change that needs to happen. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it talks about the war of the mind. And it says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power." Everybody say divine power. Divine power. "They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Do you think that your thinking is important to the way you will live this next year, yes or no? Yes. The Bible says that you have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. That means you have to manage it almost like a port of entry. All right, I don't know if you guys traveled overseas. Many of you have, I'm sure, but you always get to the international passengers terminal and they put you like a herd of cattle into between the stanchions, and then you slowly get up to the little person in the box who's going to decide whether or not you're getting in, right? And so I'll show up to a conference in Canada and the guy at the booth will just say, "Hello, Mr. Luck, how long will you be in Canada?" And I'll say, "3 days. Why are you here?" "I'm attending a pastor's conference or a church training conference. And where are you staying?" "I'm staying at this hotel," et cetera. And he kind of looks at my passport. He looks at me. He decides whether or not I get to enter his country. And then he goes, "Welcome to Canada." That's what the Bible says about how we manage our minds and the thoughts that we let in. Not all thoughts are good thoughts. Amen? And there are some that we just need to kind of meet at the border. They present themselves, not like we can stop thinking them, but we need to inspect them and we need to assess their validity with what God has to say. And we need to go, you know what? I don't want your dirty shoes going through the clean carpets of my mind, amen? We need to decide, sorry, can't come in. That's loving God. But there are some thoughts, like the thoughts from God's word that you're hearing today, the thoughts that are taught at men's and women's Bible studies, all right? There are thoughts that you get personally. There's thoughts from the Holy Spirit where they, you know, hey, this is gonna help me love God and this is gonna help me love people. You come in, all right? That's how you're supposed to manage your mind. You're supposed to aggressively manage your beliefs, and not all thoughts are equal. The question is, how do you do that? Well, here's two suggestions. Get a new angle on your issues. Write that down. Get a new angle on the issue. Think of what that breakthrough thing is. Man, I would love an awesome marriage. I would love to be a more effective father. I would love to get a hold of this anger thing. Get a new angle on the issue. Here's where the new angle is, men and women. Right here. Here's your new angle. Here's your new perspective. Here's your new belief. You got an anger problem? You need to look at the book of James. Just be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. All right? Your marriage, you husbands, you want a new marriage? Start loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. All right? And I know that I didn't deserve the way Christ loved me. All right? He died for me anyway. He sacrificed for me anyway. He did it because it was the right thing to do before God. You guys, you start doing that. You can apply that to every area of your life. Where do you want a breakthrough? Get God's mind on that issue. You need a new angle on the issue, all right? And then, secondly, you need a new attitude about failure. Say, Kenny, what do you mean? A lot of times people give up when they don't get the result right away, right? It's sort of like, well, I already tried that. I can't tell you how many people I've counseled, well, I already tried that, okay? In the Bible, it talks about how the best, most godly people fail. Isn't that encouraging? In Proverbs 24:16, it says, the righteous person falls seven times. Everybody say seven times. When the Bible says seven anything, it means an infinite amount of times, okay? So the righteous person falls seven times, but rises again. What's the victory, falling or rising? Rising. Like you watched that YouTube video of that British runner who fell during the race, and he's limping all the way, and then his dad comes out of the stands and kind of carries him, helps him to the finish line. You're just like, oh my gosh, that guy finished. My daughter Kara, when she ran track, she was running the 800 meters at this little meet, and I'm watching her, and she zips through, and they're all in like this little bunch, and then they run, and then all of a sudden the bunch goes on, and this little girl just goes, bam! She got tangled up and just went face plant. I mean, it was like one of those. Like a walrus, you know? It's like legs over her head, you know? And then it was just like, everybody went, oh. It's like, then what's gonna happen next? She does a push-up. She goes, whoom. She starts taking off. She didn't finish first, but she didn't finish last either. Do we respect and delight as parents when we see our kids not giving up and sticking with it? Now just think about the heart of your father. It's like, I know he's flawed. I know she's flawed. I know that she's discouraged because she's not getting the result. But you know what? Getting up, right? So get a new angle on the issue. Whatever that area of your life is that you want to change, get God's mind. And guess what? You're going to fail. Newsflash. You're not going to hit it perfect. The timing isn't always going to be perfect, but you are going to persevere and you're going to stay at it and you're going to believe. You got to get a new perspective on failure. So skill versus will, get some new skills from Jesus and the body of Christ. They're both really smart, all right? Second, beliefs and behaviors. Just know that if you want a different behavior, you got to change your perception of reality on that issue. And this book tells you God's perspective. You hear Pastor JP say all the time, the truest thing about anything is what? What God says is true. So get a new angle on the issue. Get a new attitude about failure. You're not perfect. You're not Jesus. You're just a human being who's going after it and stumbling and falling and getting up again and getting better the next time, all right? Three, you got to look at the connection between voices and victory. There's a lot of competing voices out there, isn't there, that are seeking to control what your choices are going to be, aren't there? Whatever it is, social media, peer pressure, the news, politics, you know, armchair psychologists, radio personalities, everybody's got an opinion, right? Well, you got to connect the voices that you're listening to right now and the victories or losses that you're experiencing. Who am I listening to, right? Now, there are a couple voices you don't want to listen to. Bible talks about it right here in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read it. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The first voice is called self-condemnation. Write that down. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it sounds and how it relates to you having a powerful breakthrough or not. The self-condemning voice says, oh, I made a mistake. All right. And then it turns into that, from that to, I always blow it. I need to work on that, turns into, I'll never change. Right? This isn't easy, turns into, this always happens to me. And it's that negative voice from within that sort of disqualifies you and gets you thinking negatively about yourself and about your prospects. And it's paralyzing, and then you experience ultimate defeat, which is settling. I just can't do anything about that one. Guess I'm not going to move forward on that one because I always blow it, and I'll never change, and this always happens to me. That's one voice you do not want to listen to. Jesus Christ, because he came, he died, and he resurrected, he has set us free from the voice of self-condemnation. Want to know why he did that? Because you get into a cycle of good intentions, failure, guilt. Good intentions, failure, guilt. And the guilt gets so heavy when you don't know that it's not already been lifted off of you. Guilt never solves breakthroughs. Amen? You can't guilt yourself into a victory because that's ultimately going to fail. Jesus came to cleanse us of our sin, to normalize the struggle, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Amen? So then he tells us the truth. So we keep listening to Jesus versus this voice of condemnation. The second voice you don't want to listen to is the voice of Satan. It talks about that in Revelation 12. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Satan is the champion, small claims court, nitpicker creation, okay? When you get into that self-condemnation, he's the one who piles on and says, you know what? You're right. You will always be this way. You can't change. You can't get a victory. This always happens to you. God doesn't care about you. There's the voice that you need to reject outright when that voice comes. So if the first voice is self-condemnation, the second voice, write this down, is satanic accusation. And he'll try to convince you, listen, everybody look up here. This is a key to spiritual battle, that your feelings are the facts. Yeah, you know, you feel that way. Those feelings are the facts, and those feelings are fatal and final. There are some of you here, you're struggling with depression. And it's almost bloodborne and systemic. And you feel like your feelings are the facts. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the name of Jesus, that's not true. God, well, the truest thing about your situation is what God says is true, not what your feelings say is true. That flaw you have, it's not fatal and final. God's power through the resurrected Christ can take that flaw and he can glorify himself and change you from the inside out. And that flaw through faith can become a victory this same time next year if you start listening to the right voices. So what do? Stop listening to the self-condemning voice and Satan and start listening to God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. All right? Can we say those three great sources to listen to? God's word, God's spirit, God's people. Say it again. God's word, God's spirit, God's people. That's right. You see, the Christian walk, faith in Jesus requires dependence and it requires discipline, right? You have to depend on God. Human bodies need oxygen to go forward, all right? Your spiritual breakthrough needs the oxygen of dependence on God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. That's gonna bring you success, right? But you also need to do your little part. You gotta bring your loaf and fish to the table. That's your discipline. That's your loaf and fish, all right? Where you intentionally pursue that. By the way, that's what a discipline is. It's saying no to one thing and intentionally pursuing another thing. It's a no and a yes. So what does your spiritual breakthrough look like? I'm depending on God's word. I'm depending on God's spirit. I'm depending on God's people. And I am going to then discipline myself to be around those. I'm going to say no to this so I can say yes to community. I can say no to whatever I was planning on January 12th and say yes to Marriage Matters because I want a breakthrough in my marriage. I'm gonna say no to getting into the office one morning a week during this time and come to the call study, all right, in the fellowship center so I can be in God's word and be accountable. You see how that works? Discipline and dependence. Can we say those two words together? Discipline and dependence, right? We're depending on God. But even Jesus asks for a little loaf and fish. So on your issue, figure out what's a first step. What can I put into God's hands? It's usually a discipline. So start listening to God's word, God's spirit on your people. I put in your notes, Galatians 5:25, what does it look like to listen to God's spirit? It says, since we live by the spirit, let us keep in step with the spirit. There's a picture for you. I don't know if you ever did this with your buddies or your girlfriends when you were little, but you're walking along and then you kind of do that little hop skip. You go like to get your steps lined up so you're walking normally, and then just to get an exact right unison, you kind of do that hop step. And you're like, okay, now I'm walking. Or maybe, you know, some of your older folks did the monkeys thing, you know, where you're stepping like this over the other person's leg in unison. But you get the picture, right? You're keeping in step. What does it look like this next year to keep in step with the Spirit? Because that's a command of Scripture. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. It means that when you hear that voice that says, do that, because that shows love for God. Or do that, because that shows love for people. And it costs you, do that. Do that. Discipline yourself around doing that. That takes faith to do, doesn't it, when you don't feel like doing it, right? Do that thing that shows love for God. Oh, I mean, I have to stop what I'm doing to do that? Yes. Do that thing that shows love for people. You mean I'm going to have to set aside my agenda to do that? Do that. Keep in step with the Spirit. There's a verse from Job that talks about depending on God's word. It says this, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. That's a value statement. That means that Job is saying, you know what? More than physical food, more than other priorities, this is going to be my priority. Question for you from the Lord this morning. Do you treasure the words of his mouth? It's a value statement. Again, it's the vital few versus the important many. There's the vital voices, and then there's the many voices. This next year, if you want a powerful and personal spiritual breakthrough, you have to treasure God's word. This has to be your reference point. My daughter led a life group, a high school life group, and I would say the same thing to her. I didn't tell her how to do her ministry, but I would just say, Kara, just help train the next generation of young women that this is their reference point for everything. God's word. Job says, you know what? I treasure this more than my daily bread, more than physical food. So depend on God's spirit, depend on God's word. I don't have a verse in there about depending on people, but the Bible in Hebrews 10, 23 and 24 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because it's in that space where you spur one another on and encourage each other to love and good deeds. So there's skill versus will. There's beliefs and behaviors. There's voices and victory. And then the last connection you need to make on this whole topic of spiritual breakthroughs is friends and failure. Friends and failure. I love in the Bible how God creates a relationship with him, but then there's a community of people, and the two are intended to work together to bring his plan about in individuals' lives. You know who knew this in the Bible? David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 20, they're having this exchange with one another. David has been visited by Jonathan, and David is in a bad place. And Jonathan comes to encourage him. And when they're leaving, these words are said. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. See, that's healthy. David was in a bad place. What did he need? He needed a friend to come alongside of him when he was low, to speak encouragement and strength and vision, and to tell him that his feelings weren't the facts, because that's what David was experiencing at that moment. And they come together and they swear friendship together with one another. They reaffirm that there's God in each of their individual lives, but then there's God between them. And then they exhort and they encourage one another, and then they separate, and then they come back together, and then they separate, and then they come back together. That's healthy relationships. Okay. In the Bible, it also talks about how sometimes your friends tell you things that your fans won't tell you. Look at what it says in Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. It says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. My brother-in-law, Christian Swanson, he's voted the top surgeon in Northern California by 4,000 of his peers. He's done 20,000 plus surgeries. This time of year, his office fills up with crystal, baskets from Cracker Barrel, See's candy. His office is flooded with gifts. Why? For cutting on people. Go figure. He cuts people. He leaves scars. They have to recover. But then, here comes, at Christmas time, they are so grateful that he cut on them to heal them. See, sometimes your friend group, they're not making you better. They're making you worse. Why? Because they don't tell you the truth. And the Bible says that you need great friends to win big victories and to get healed. Some of you are stuck in a place where you're not healed from something, whether it's an attitude or an action or a behavior, and it's because you won't surrender or submit yourself to God's community of people that is there to come to that spot in your life. Like when, you know, you get a cut and there's a wheal and flare response and the body starts sending helper cells to that area to prevent infection. When we have an issue in our lives, the body is supposed to rush to that spot and to help us get better and heal us. How? Through connection, through confidence, right? Through transparency, right? And through counsel. Sometimes it stings, but it's not a stab to kill. It's a cut to heal. Amen? This next year, are you going to be in community? I mean, we've created spaces for you. We've done our part. I can honestly say with all my heart, we have created spaces for you to know God and to know people and to be connected. The question is, are you there? There are people who are affiliated and attend Crossline Church, and if you ask them, hey, where do you go to church? You go, hey, I go to Crossline. But you're not connected to Crossline. On a deeper level where people actually know you and people are close enough to sharpen you and where you are winning your spiritual breakthroughs through connection with God and connection to community. Can we covenant together that this next year, this church is going to be totally connected? Because you know what? Here's what I don't want for you. I don't want for you to be like, if I took a pair of shears, this is gross, but if I cut off my little finger and it fell to the ground, right? I don't want you to be like that finger that is disconnected from the body and you can't have your function. If you believe the myth that you can achieve powerful personal breakthroughs apart from your connection to the body of Christ, you are self-deceived. But if you believe that you're a part of a body and a family of believers and that your healings and breakthroughs are through you being connected to God and being connected to the body of Christ, you're smart. And smart people discipline themselves toward those two relationships, being connected to God and be connected to the body of Christ. Look at what it says in the Bible. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. You know, this Lone Ranger Christian thing, this pull myself up by my own bootstraps type of Christianity, this I can go to church and then not be connected really truly to the body of Christ, that doesn't work. The Bible says that doesn't work. That's not going to get you the victory that God wants for you, and it won't remove the obstacles. So we got to ask ourselves some honest questions. It's right there on your notes. In what area of your life are you seeking a breakthrough? Only you and God know that, truly. Not the first pass answer or even the second, but the real one, the one that's given you a fever, that character thing inside of you that's harming your relationships, that purity thing in your mind that's harming your attitudes and your actions, that way of relating, the quality of your connection with your spouse, whatever it is, whatever the hard thing is, that's where the obstacle is, and that's where God wants to move. So what area of your life are you seeking a breakthrough? Second, what specific battle are you fighting? Do you need some new skills? I remember getting married, and one of the skills that I needed to develop, men, was to learn how to listen. You know, where I wasn't thinking of the answer while Chrissy was talking, or I wasn't thinking of all the things that I would do to solve that problem, you know, being present, looking someone in the eye, seeking truth versus a win, conflict resolution. Man, those are the real wins in relationships, amen? That's what God is calling us to. What specific battle are you fighting? Do you need some new skills? Do you need some new beliefs to change those behaviors? Do you need some new voices in your life? Do you need some new friends to get a win versus a failure in your life? Here's a hard one. What group of people will you allow God to use for your breakthrough in 2019? If you're married, certainly it's your spouse, but it's also the body of Christ outside of her or him. Is it a couples group? Is it a men's group? Is it a women's group? Is it a get healthy group? Say, Kenny, why are you hammering this? What's the big deal about my personal breakthroughs this next year? Why do I need to win my breakthrough as a pastor, as a staff person, as a member of this body of believers? Write this down. Because when I break through, the church breaks through. You see, the hope of the world, the hope of Laguna Hills and South Irvine and Elisa Viejo and Tustin is not more wealth and more stuff. It's the local church. The hope of the world is the local church, but the hope of the local church is the health and vibrancy of its people. And when I break through, I help my church break through. That's what the Bible says. Look what it says in Ephesians 4:16. Let's meditate on the word of God together. Let it speak to your heart personally. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I hope that as a body of believers, having heard the word of the Lord this morning, that we could arrive at a simple place, and it's a simple place of unity of purpose and unity of pursuit. That we would say, hey, God, you want me to remove the obstacles that are keeping me from the destinations that you want me to land at this next year. And I'm gonna commit to doing my part to give you the loaf and fish of my obedience, the loaf and fish of listening to the right voices, the loaf and fish of getting some new angles on my issues, the truth of your word, maybe even surrendering to a group of new people that I meet so that I can have many advisors and I can win victories in my life. Because when I do that, it says that this family of believers has a breakthrough in health, that as you do your work and I do my work, then we have a breakthrough in our church's growth. Then we have a breakthrough in the level of love that we have one for another and love for the people out there who are lost and dying and in a dark world. And Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So do you see why your personal breakthrough is important for the larger purposes of God? So let's covenant together to have this unity of purpose, that we're gonna pursue the things that are holding us back. We're gonna remove the obstacles. We're gonna get some new skills. We're gonna study God's word. We're gonna connect in community. We're gonna surrender to people who know Jesus and people who know more and their voices so that I can win health and growth and intimacy in my relationships with God and people. And as I do that, this body of believers benefits, and you spur me on and I spur you on. Amen? Let's bow our heads and ask God to come into this moment right now. Lord, what a sacred space this is that you would speak to us between Christmas and New Year's. Lord, reflecting on the challenges and blessings of what 2018 was and is, and then helping us to, with your love present in this space, look in the mirror and see the good and see the challenges and to know that your presence is in us. The resurrection power of Jesus is here right now. And you're available and you're calling us to walk down this road, to build up, to prepare, to remove obstacles, to speak truth and love one to another, to grow up in every way. So Lord, forgive us for our complacency. Forgive us for our spiritual laziness. Forgive us when you offer power and a plan and a clear word. So Lord, convict us in the best ways. Thank you that you don't condemn us. Thank you that your grace gives us room to fail in our pursuit of breakthroughs in this next year. Remind us, Lord, that perfection isn't going to happen. Stumbling is expected, but rising makes us children of God because we know the grace and love of Jesus. And if you don't know the grace and love of Jesus, he's calling to you right now. He wants you to know his unconditional acceptance and love if you would have him. He wants you to know his authority and his accountability in your life. He wants to flood your life with grace and truth so that you can heal. If that's your desire in this moment right now, just say, Jesus, I say yes right now. I want to win. I want to win a new life. I don't want to be the person I was this last year. I don't want to feel the same things I felt bad. I want to feel new things. I want to see new things. I want to experience new things according to your plan and your love, oh God. So Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Make me the person that you want me to be right now. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for a second chance. Thank you for a new start. Come into my life and put your Holy Spirit inside of me right now to make me like you, my wonderful Savior and Lord. In Christ's name we pray, God's people said, amen.